Sunday Mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
This morning, we're going to do it a little bit different from what we've always done it. We are still on the series, A Jesus-Shaped Life, so we're still following that series for the next few weeks. You know, when we read the book of Joshua, we are told the children of Israel were given very specific instructions, and these instructions were to leave Egypt, a place of bondage, a place of suffering, into the place filled with honey and milk. Now, if you are very savvy and you know geography, if you look at it, you know, the distance between Egypt and Israel is no way 40 years. No ways. Like, even if you are walking, right? But the children of Israel spent 40 years. Approximately 38 of those years, they were at the border. The instructions were very clear, because when God speaks, he doesn't mince words. It's very clear. God gives instructions in a very clear, concise way, so there's no confusion, there's no doubt what God is saying. The question is, why did they take 40 years to get to the promised land? We can give many reasons. Like, in my own judgmental ways, I start asking myself, what were they thinking? What was wrong with these people? Because if I am promised a place of honey and milk, my natural inklings is I'm going to run. I'll be running every day to get there, right? It is flowing with honey and milk. And then the Holy Spirit convicted me and asked me, how is that working out for you, Bright? You know, it's always very difficult when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, isn't it? I'm not talking about your wife's voice. I'm talking about the real Holy Spirit, not the small Holy Spirit. I mean, those that are married understand that we do have small Holy Spirits in the house. So, not those. I mean the Holy Spirit. When he speaks to you, it convicts you. He says, how is that happening? How is that working out for you? And yet, God has made many promises, and I am not leaving those promises. The instructions are clear. How many times have I been given very clear instructions and I've not followed those instructions? Because I'm thinking I can do it in my own way and own understanding. And that is disobedience. So it's disobedience that led to the children of Israel to take 40 years. They did not disobey the instructions. They did not follow the instructions. You see, after Moses had died, Joshua acted fearlessly and immediately upon those instructions. He said, we will march on. We will possess the land which God has promised us. We will follow the instructions. As we look on this series, Jesus-Shaped Life, one of those aspects is the obedience of Jesus Christ. Do we obey what God has given us as instructions, or do we decide to follow our own way of doing things, our own understanding, our own experiences? So, since today the theme is obedience, and the way God would have it, you know, I didn't quite plan for it, so I ask four different individuals to share what God is doing in their lives, to share what's happening, because testifying is very important. We read in the scripture this morning, after Jesus had done what he did to heal this, to deliver this man who was possessed, what were the instructions? Go and tell. Go and tell. We've heard over and over in Scripture where the Bible has instructed those that have received from God to go and tell. Even those that were told to sit quiet, they went and told. Because there is power in telling. There is power in testifying. Testifying, speaking about the goodness of God, the greatness of God. That's what we are going to listen to this morning. The Bible says they overcame by the word of what? Their testimony, and they lived not on their lives unto themselves. So in testifying, we actually are reminding the devil of the defeats that he has suffered. And also reminding ourselves of the goodness of God, because a lot of things can happen to us that we forget that God has done it. And he's going to do it again. Because Jesus Christ goes before us. He goes before us. He's already in your tomorrow. Amen. She just shouted a big amen over there. I feel encouraged, my little one there. Jesus Christ has already gone ahead of you. Amen? So let's listen to some of the testimonies this morning. And I'm going to start with Joshua. Please.
Believed in God. I believed in Jesus. I said the sinner's prayer obsessively, I guess. as a child, I think that's a little bit normal. But around 10 or 11, I started to become very rebellious against my parents, and I wanted to, kind of like what Bright was saying, I just wanted to do my own thing and go my own way. And so there was some rebellion there. And around 13, 14 years old, I realized that I was on a bad path. And I recommitted my life to God, and I was baptized at 14. And shortly after that time, we had moved to a large city from the country, and I started going to high school, and I guess that rebellion in my heart was still there. I didn't really deal with it and give it to God. I just kind of more went through the motions, and I ended up turning away from my faith and just living a life in the world that I wanted to live. And I started lying to my parents to do whatever I wanted. I got into alcohol and drugs, and just started me down a very bad path. And I got addicted to multiple substances and was really in a dark place. And from there, I called out to God again at 20 and asked him to save me, because I wasn't sure if I was saved because of the way I was living. And God really met with me in a powerful way, and I felt his presence. And I'd say that was the first time I knew I was saved, was when I was 20. But unfortunately, I didn't obey as Bright said, because God was calling me to do certain things that were difficult. One was to go into rehab, but I thought, oh no, I don't need that. No, I'm good. And I took it into my own hands to recover the way I thought was best. And what ended up happening was I had lots of habits and lots of behaviors and beliefs. My mind was not renewed, and I ended up kept falling back into my old habits. And so my cycle of addiction kind of persisted for many, many years more than it should have, about 7 years, six years more. As a believer, as a spirit-filled believer, I was still rebellious and disobedient, and I didn't inherit the life that God wanted for me. And it wasn't until I got to the point where I was really ready to surrender completely that I found freedom. And that was when I went into a rehab program called Teen Challenge. Some of you have heard of it. And at 26 years old, I went in there, and I knew this was my last chance, because I had been using drugs for so many years, and I was getting hopeless. And so I just called out to God and asked him to, I said, God, you're my only hope. And if you don't save me and deliver me from this life, then I'm going to die. And God was faithful to meet me there. And over the next many months, I lived at this rehabilitation center, and I began to dig into the Word and renew my mind. And I began to confess what the Bible says about me rather than what other people had said. You know, I heard the phrase, oh, once an addict, always an addict, or addiction's a disease, you have no control over it. But instead, I had to confess what God's Word said, I am free. It says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I began to confess God's Word over my life, and I began to experience the freedom that is promised in the Bible. And so I lived in Teen Challenge for 10 years, and in that time, God really renewed my mind and set me free. And I've now been clean and sober from all drugs and alcohol for over 6 years now. Praise God. And yeah, it's good to clap. And that wasn't the end, though, because God still had a lot of work to do and a lot of journey to take me on. And from that point on, I began to obey and follow. And I still had challenges that would come my way, but I wouldn't run back to my addiction. I would run to God, and I would overcome. My life before was characterized by falling away and falling back. And after, I just began to turn to God and allow him to carry me through. So yeah, since going out of Teen Challenge, I've gotten married, I have a daughter, I've gotten out of debt, I've done a biblical studies degree at Briarcrest Bible College, and yeah, and just my life has really been turned around, and I've had the opportunity to share my testimony with thousands of people over the years, and God has worked through my life to bring hope to other people. And numerous people have been saved by God after hearing my testimony. And one recent one was a man who was, like me, addicted to cocaine for many years. And I shared my testimony with him and prayed for him. And he himself went into the Teen Challenge and is now, went there for a year and has graduated and is serving the Lord as well. And that's just one example. But I'm just grateful to be here today, and my encouragement to everyone is that God is faithful. My story is a story of someone who fell away many, many times. I fell away from God, and he is the one who is faithful to me, and I'm very grateful for that. So I just want to encourage everyone with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Joshua. That's a very powerful testimony, and for obeying God's instructions. And we just continue to pray that God is going to continue using you in a very mighty way to reach many, many people, not just in Canada, but far beyond than you can even imagine and think. So we really appreciate that. You see, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ concluded, you know, by giving a parable of two builders, one who built, two home builders, one who built a home on a solid foundation, on the bedrock, and then another one who built it on a very soft foundation by cutting corners, by saving. You know, sometimes we try to take shortcuts, sometimes we try to take the easy way out, and those easy way outs are not necessarily the best way. We have to go through the hard way, the hard process, because the man who built without a strong foundation is no different from one that hears the word of God, hears Jesus' words, and does nothing about them. When the storm comes, it won't hold up. When the storm comes, you fly away in the storm. That's why it's very important to be grounded upon that foundation, upon that rock. And that rock is no other than Jesus Christ. Amen? Thank you very much for sharing. At this point, I'm going to invite my dear sister, Marjorie to come forward and share her testimony. Thank you. Let's encourage her as she makes her way forward. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Please bear with me. I'm a bit nervous. Oh, I never thought of standing in front of you today, but Bright approached me last Sunday if we could share a testimony, me and my husband, but my husband doesn't want to come here. So at first I was hesitant. I asked Bright to give us a time. I prayed about it and I felt in my heart the need of doing it. And I thank God for giving me the courage to stand in front of you today. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior when I was 14 years old. But my personal relationship with God did not develop until my late 20s. One factor that affected my relationship with God was my experience with my parents. My parents separated when I was a kid and left me and my siblings. I grew up without their support, care, love, guidance, and protection. I don't have a permanent home nor address growing up. This experience hindered me from growing. Oh, sorry. This experience hindered me from growing spiritually, yet God still answered my prayer. He brought back my parents. My mom came home a month before my high school graduation, and my dad when I was 18. I thought my relationship with God became better when my parents came back, but it was a struggle, mentally and emotionally exhausted. I felt like I'm in a cage, imprisoned of the past hurt, rejection, anger, and hatred towards my parents. I don't feel complete. I feel empty and alone. I had fear of opening completely to God. I felt neglected. As a result, trusting was so hard for me. Until I came to a point that I must make a decision to do something to change my situation. I cried out to God for help and healing so I can fully experience Him. Acceptance was a bit difficult for me, but it was necessary for my healing. To acknowledge all of the uncomfortable parts of myself, my emotions, my thoughts, and my past. It was a battle and a painful process. While I was striving to heal, the enemy also was busy attacking my mind. But I thank God for bringing me two of the church leaders who prayed and helped me on my healing journey. But by God's grace, I was able to forgive my parents, love and trust them without reservation. December 2010 was a very memorable moment for me. My first quality time with my mom and my dad, my first hug and kiss to them, and finally said, I love you. God healed me from my past so I can completely accept His love and trust Him fully. Being in love with God was the best thing in my life. I felt complete and had peace and was overwhelmed with joy. My relationship with God became intimate and deeper. My perspective towards Him changed for better. That He is for me and not against me. That despite of what happened in the past, He never leave nor forsake me. He was there, and He is always here for me and you. He is real and He is working continually for our good. We just need to let Him in and allow Him to work in us. I thank God for giving me the chance and time to be with my parents and experience their love, care, and support and guidance. I treasure the quality time I spent with my dad before he passed. My ugly past became beautiful, I believe. It happened with a purpose. It made me for who I am today. And I thank God and praise Him for what He has done and will be doing in my life. And please allow me also to share how the Lord moved in my and healed my husband. In the middle of 2019, we found out that there was a hole like a donut shape in his lower left lung. After suffering from pneumonia, the doctor suspect that he had a cancer. So they told him to go to Cross Cancer Institute in Edmonton for further tests. At first, we were worried, but we sat down and prayed and focused on God, trusting to take control of his situation and claiming for a good report. Indeed, it was a good report. The result was not cancer. Although the doctor cannot pinpoint the cause of the hole, so his locum doctor decided to have him a follow-up checkup, a follow-up CT scan every 6 months. Every time he got his CT scan result showing no changes. We reminded ourselves not to fear nor discourage because we have a good and faithful God, that we can trust him because he upholds us in his righteous right hand. Thank God, finally, he answered our prayer. His last CT scan was October last year, shows that the hole shrink. Our God is a miracle working God. To God be the glory.
Thank you so much. Wasn't that beautiful? Wasn't that beautiful? You see, God is still in the business of healing. It's not just us hearing about it far away. He is still doing his work because he is one that does not change. And thank you very much for gathering the courage to stand here and share your great testimony. I strongly believe that many are going to be blessed and be touched by that, and even reassured that Jesus Christ is still God, is still healing. You see, when we read in the scripture this morning, and if you read the whole Luke 8, there's lots of description of many Jesus encounters, which Pastor Mel dealt with in great details when we're doing the Jesus Encounter series. Clearly, as we see, when we encounter Jesus, our lives cannot be the same. It does change. It is in faith and obedience of Jesus Christ that our lives change. When we encounter this Jesus, we need to be able to gather the strength, the boldness to tell, because many are going to come to repentance, they're going to come to healing, they're going to come to deliverance through what God has done through us. Remember the Great Commission. The Great Commission is not only reserved for pastors, for those that have gone to Bible school. Maybe you ask yourself, or we ask ourselves, but I haven't been to Bible school. I can't even speak properly. I have a speech problem. I'm nervous. But stand up in boldness and share. Simply testify the goodness of God in your life and allow the Holy Spirit to do the rest. Amen. Moving forward, I'm going to ask my brother to come and share, Brother David. Let's encourage him as he comes to share. And I was telling him, like, you know, you only have 5 minutes. He's like, wow, that's not enough. I'm like, well, give us the abbreviated version of it. Thank you.
Thanks, Bright. I was sharing with a friend of mine this morning, and I said, yeah, I got 5 minutes to give a testimony. And they said, David, they don't know you. And I said, no, that's okay. So I've been praying. My biggest prayer this week is, Lord, can you crunch it all down to 5 minutes, what you want to say? Spoiler alert. I disobeyed. And I would love to be up here and tell you of all the times that I've obeyed God. And I said, Lord, come on now. You have all these things. And he said, nope. I want you to publicly tell about how you have disobeyed. I need to stand in the place so they can see. Sorry, folks, out in. So I thought, okay, Lord. I said, but that's embarrassing. That's humiliating to tell about how you failed. The Lord said, yes, yeah, it is. You're right. That's my spoiler. Now I'm going to go back. That's all you get for right now. I got 4.5 minutes to tell you the backstory. November 19th, I started a journey. November 19th was a critical point because I was really struggling in my marriage. For the past 2-3 years, the conflicts were getting worse and worse and worse. Now, we had some good times. I don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. But it was getting worse and worse, and conflicts, and I was being triggered. My wife was being triggered. And I thought, Lord, there must be something that we can do to find out what these triggers are. November 19th, I did a workshop, online workshop. It was 6 hours long, and I cried for 3 hours. Because it touched my heart, and it started to explain why there's so much conflict in my marriage because of these triggers. And it had to do with going right back to when I was a little boy, 4 years old, and moving up. And it has to do with dealing with the trauma that happened. And I thought, well, you know, I had a pretty good childhood. And I listened to this guy. I'm thinking, wait a minute, that's my story. That's my story. That doesn't sound good, but I'm relating to that. That's my story. Are you kidding me? And I said, well, Lord, you know what? It's time. I want to know what happened. Our brain is a protective organ in our body. It protects us from pain. And I thought, okay, you know what, Lord? I love my wife. I don't want my marriage to fail. Show me what I am doing and what I'm bringing and all the triggers and what has happened. And it started a journey, November 19th. And I thought, this journey is all about healing my marriage. And the Lord said, no, it's way more than that. Way more than healing your marriage. You see, we are part of God's story. We are. He wrote our story before we took our first breath. That's what the scripture says. But you see, other people can write into your story. And as my parents did, I had a very traumatic upbringing. Rejection, physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse. All of them. And as I started to dig in, and the pain of that, and I thought, what? What is this? And the Lord said, it's okay, David. I got you. But we have to sort of go there, expose it, so I can heal it. So I can comfort your grieving of it. I said, okay, Lord. And then he showed me something else. He said, you know, I've written your story. Other people have written over it. I said, okay. And he said, when it gets healed, when it gets comforted, you know what? Why don't we come back to the story that I have for your life? The original plan for your life. I said, that sounds great. And I thought, well, that's going to be a while yet because I have a lot of healing to do. And one morning, the 12th of January, I was praying early one morning. And I said, Lord, I can't bear this pain. It is intense. And he said, yep, it is. I'm with you. And I said, Lord, if you could even give me just a shadow of your original purpose for my life. And he said, I will do that. I said, okay. He said, you are a worshiper. I've created you as a worshiper. I said, yes. And you have the ability that I have given you to bring people into my presence. I said, yes. Okay. Okay. I said, thank you, Lord. So I thought, okay. So I get up off my knees, and I sent Melt a text at 6 something in the morning. And I said, I want to offer my worship services to you, because I've been here before. This is not my first time. And he said, okay. And Mel got back to me, and Seth got back to me, and I looked around, and I came, and I thought, so many worshipers, so many musicians, so many singers, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I'm not in the right place. Maybe I'm not. And so I looked around, and I became disobedient. You see, the Lord only told me one thing. You are a worshiper. I want you to call people into my presence. 6.5 hours later, I get a text from a friend in Prince Edward Island. David, I want to encourage you. God has given you the ability to bring people into his presence. Confirmation. 6.5 hours later, I said, okay, Lord, So I came here, I looked around, I was discouraged. I thought, well, maybe I'm in the wrong place. Maybe they don't need my services. So then I said, whoa, hey, this soundboard. This is great. Soundboard. I've always wanted to learn soundboard, so I approached Ben. That's where I disobeyed. Right there. Moses, he paid a big price for disobeying. I thought, have you seen my notes? Have you been in my brain again this morning? I said, Lord, what do you want me to talk about this morning today? Obedience. And then Bright's inside, he says, oh, you know, our theme is obedience. And I thought, oh, Lord. He said, I'm going to talk about the flip side of that, and it's disobedience. Moses paid a huge price. Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence just as he commanded. He and Aaron gave the assembly together, gathered the assembly together in front of the rock. And what did he do? Instead of speaking to it, what did he do? He struck the rock with his staff. You think, well, water came out of the rock. Watered the Israelites, watered their livestock. You think, well, you know, speak to it, hit it, but you see, the consequence for, you know the consequence, right, for Moses? He didn't get to go into the promised land. Why? Because he struck the rock and didn't speak to the rock. And that's what the Lord's put on my heart. He said, David, I never asked you to go up and do that board. I've asked you one thing. I've shared one thing. Worship. I said, Lord, okay. So, Lord, can I go to Ben privately and just, you know, quietly resign, please, Lord, could I do that? And he said, no, I want to make an example of you. And I said, okay, I will do that. It's not fun. And I wanted so much to talk to Ben in private. I was hoping he'd come early and I could just take him aside because I like to do things in person like that. And the Lord said, no, you don't even get to do that. I said, but Lord, really? No. So, coming from the flip side of obedience, I have to be obedient to God. And so, thank you for asking me to share. I know I've gone over my 5 minutes. I have a heart of worship. I want to be obedient to God. And so, I'm convicted to give up that position and only be worshiping God. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, David, for sharing. You know, so good. No, when we obey, many people are blessed through that. And when we disobey, imagine how many people are going to miss their blessing. You know, I've always said, God placed us here not just for ourselves, as much as to worship us to Him, to worship Him, but He also placed us on this earth for the blessings and the benefit of others. Through us, God also reaches others. Now, imagine if Pastor Melt and Anita had not obeyed the call of God upon their lives to come up here. You know, from the warm, nice South Africa, not saying North is not nice, but weather-wise, you know what we are dealing with here. But they obeyed and they came up. And how many of us have been blessed as a result of that? How many people, not those that are even coming outside, they have been blessed because of that? So there is a tremendous blessing that comes from obeying what God has, instructed us to do. So I'm going to ask Norma to come forward and share as well. Thank you. Encouragement, please. Thank you.
Hi again. So about 10 days ago, it was a Friday afternoon, and it was quite cold out. And I had just run out that afternoon and done two errands in the car. And I got back home and was doing a few things, and then I finally got around to putting away my coat and my keys, and my keys felt light. I looked down and I thought, oh no, I've lost my house keys. And sure enough, I said, Don, you didn't take my keys, did you? He said, no, Norma, I didn't take your keys. And I said, oh, I know I've lost them. It's probably just on this last errand that I ran. And I said, oh, but it's cold out, and I've already been out twice, and the likelihood of me ever finding them is really, really slim. And so I was just going to leave it at that. And he said, I'll go with you. And that was not typical. That wouldn't be Don's normal response, because I would be quite capable of going out on my own and doing it. And, you know, we both can do these things. But he said, I'll go with you. And I said, really? And he goes, yeah. And I said, okay. So out we go, and I decided, okay, I'll go to this place first and pull right into where I had and didn't see the keys on the ground, got out of the car. It was at Frame Lake Family Clinic. You know, you walk up those few little stairs onto the walkway to the door, and there are the keys, right there, just right there. Probably, you know, half an hour had passed since I lost them. They were there. We found them pretty easily. But I tell that story, and it's just the story, but what God was showing me through that and has since used through that story to reveal to me has been really significant in my life just the last week. Because I've been, you know, one of the things that we experience in life, every one of us, is the challenges or the disappointments, the hard stuff, or maybe a tough decision that you have to make. It's just a part of the human journey, isn't it? And God wants to be a part of that mundane and mess and normal of our life. He wants us to invite him right into the midst of it. But I had been struggling with, you know, a challenging area, like really struggling, more so than I usually do the previous week. And I just had been wrestling with God. And I think the most powerful prayer I was praying was just, help me, God, I can't do this. I'm just really struggling on, you know, the cliff of falling over versus taking that stance of faith, because anxiety likes to just encroach in there, doesn't it? Yeah, and take over, and yet we wanna hold fast. We wanna keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, but it's tough. So going back through that little losing of the keys example, both Don and I felt it was quite a miracle. Number one, I noticed right away, like within 10 minutes of being home, that the keys were missing. So not a whole lot of time had passed. I thought, God, even when I'm not aware of what I need to be aware of, he can bring it to our attention. He is God. He's not limited. So, you know, just that little thought process where the enemy likes to get in there and say, oh, yeah, but what if? What if? No, God's able. Then the next thing was, I didn't have any motivation to go out and look for them. I just thought, oh, what's the point? I've already been out. It's cold outside. And God did something in my husband, Don, that could only have been God, because he said, I'll go with you. And believe me, you know, I have a wonderful husband, but he and I both agreed that would not be his normal response. So I thought, okay, God can change people's minds and hearts in order to accomplish what he needs to in our lives. Again, God isn't limited. And then what was the third thing when I go out there? Well, the keys were still there. I mean, it was probably at least 20 minutes, probably 30. Someone could have easily found them or kicked them or picked them up. And God watched over them. And there they were. And then I'm reading from my journal some of the things that I wrote. Oh, the other thing was, God made it really easy, didn't he? I just walked up those stairs, and there they were, right there. Just saw them immediately. And so sometimes those insurmountable, impossible situations that just loom so big in our lives, as we invite God into them and surrender them to him, he just has this way of making the really impossible things possible, and not only that, but easy. So it was just so encouraging. So we're driving along in the car after having found the keys, and we both say, I said, Don, I think that was a miracle. And he said, yeah, I think it was. And then I'm we're driving along, and I'm just sort of mulling this over in my mind with Jesus. And it was as if I heard him say to me, and this particular situation in my life that's been looming big, he was saying, and I can do it just as easily with that. And I thought, is that me or is that God? And I thought, okay, I'm going to choose God. But then I said, you know what I think God just said to me? And I shared that with Don, and he looked at me and he said, I just heard the same thing. Exactly. And I thought, you know, God, you're pretty amazing. He just wants to work in the middle of the mundane, right in the middle of our life as it is, and encounter us there. So a couple of things that I journaled about that I wanted to share. As we're going through these challenges, these difficulties, or these decisions that we all go through, I mean, it's a part of the journey, and it's not something that we need to push ourselves through or necessarily avoid or consider as bad, because so often it's those challenging things that we work through where we encounter God most significantly and where he brings about the transformation in our lives. So it's that principle, I guess, of embracing where we're at, even when it's not comfortable and it's not desirable, but embracing it in that we're saying, God, I trust you in the middle of this. Let your full will be fulfilled in the middle of this. Help me to learn what I'm supposed to learn. Lord, do the work of transformation in my life that you need to do and that you want to do through this situation. Help me to do it your way. I surrender. And so it's fixing our eyes on Jesus. Well, we hear that all the time. I say it all the time. Okay, I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. But what is that in practicality? And through my reading over the past week, a few little pointers. Seeing things from God's perspective, not mine. And I love this one. I think it's very important. Aligning my thoughts and my words with God. You know, just as Josh was saying to us in his testimony, our thoughts, are they in the gutter? Are they all of the doubts and the I can'ts? Or are they what God is saying to us at that time? What are his promises? Where am I allowing my thoughts to go? What words am I speaking? Are they speaking life or death? It says, fix your eyes on me, Norma, and you will feel me washing away the debris of doubt and frustration. I love that. Choose to believe that I will take care of you. Yes, God, you will take care of us. He does take care of us because he loves us. He says, I am the God of possibility. So completely release your impossible situation into my capable hands. Amen. He says, focus on my omnipotence, not on your problem. So a couple of verses that have been great in the middle of this. One, I love Psalm 31 in the Passion Translation, and a favorite verse in there is verse 2, and it says, rescue me quickly when I cry out to you. At the sound of my prayer, may your ear be turned to me. Be my strong shelter and hiding place on high. And this is the part I pray often. Pull me into victory and breakthrough. God, I can't do it, but you can. Pull me into victory and breakthrough. And then another verse, Hebrews 4:16. It says, we come freely and boldly to where love is enthroned. I love that. Where love is enthroned. To receive mercy's kiss and discover the grace that we urgently need to strengthen us in our time of weakness. Isn't that beautiful? You break that down. In our time of weakness, when we're struggling, run freely, boldly, right to where love is enthroned. Right into God's arms. Run to him. And then receive his kiss of mercy. Do we deserve it? No. Often have we made a mess of it? Absolutely. Are we floundering and barely hanging on and just about falling over that cliff into the sea of doubt and negativity and, you know, a lack of faith? Yeah, but receive mercy's kiss. And then discover the grace that we need. He's always got ample grace, and his mercy is always there. Yeah, so that's what I wanted to share, Bright.
Contemplating about, you know, how, where to take this subject, and God told me to ask, you know, a few people that can share. I didn't know who to ask, and I came in, and I, you know, if you made eye contact with me, then God asked me to talk to you, so. But no, and I felt like you should speak, and of course, you know, I was like, well, Pastor Melty is not here. What's going to happen with the church if this doesn't go right? But I think that went very well. I think that went well. I was like, you know, I don't want Pastor Mel not ever to go on vacation again. So it's the last weekend before he comes. Let's not mess things up. But that was really fantastic. That was a tremendous blessing. So if you didn't get anything today, it's this. If God is telling you to buy me a double-double, act on it. Do not disobey. Just let me know when to meet you, and I'll pick it up. Amen? Have you been blessed this morning? I mean, that was just a wonderful service. I truly enjoyed it. You know, I mean, everything, the theme, it just all blended in quite well. And, you know, we rely on the GPS, but God is telling us to rely on me. How many of us trust the GPS so much that we don't even want to think of where we're going? You know, I remember the days that we had to read maps and find our own ways. We got lost less, but now with the GPS, we're even getting lost more. But what God wants us to do is to rely upon Jesus and upon his instructions and follow the direction, because his direction are good and his direction is where we're supposed to follow. Amen? Have you been blessed this morning? I'm going to put Caleb on the spot. You just come over and pray over the people. And pray over the all the great testimonies we've had that God is going to continue doing a great work. And then dismiss us for the service. Thank you.
Awesome. No feedback this time. This is the best. Okay, so thank you, Heavenly Father, that you love us so much. I thank you that you say in the Bible that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, which means when we hear the things that you've done in the lives of others, it gives us faith so that you can do it in our life. So, Lord, today I just pray that whatever you've been speaking to each person's heart here, you do it in our life. You increase our faith, that just like Norma's difficulty was made easy and you brought a breakthrough where there was a breakdown, that in each of our lives where there's a breakdown, you bring a breakthrough, Jesus. That for each of the testimonies that were shared, you empower us, that just like Dave, you taught him to obey, Lord. And Lord, would you show each of us to obey what you're telling us to do, just like you brought beauty out of the ashes of a difficult past. And another testimony, Lord, you would do it in our life. Lord, just as you've spoken to us, just as you've brought an overcoming in Josh's life, there would be an overcoming and a victory where there is difficulty in our lives. And do it again, Lord, in our lives. Increase our faith, move in power, help us to fix our eyes on you, not be distracted by the temporary things of this world. Pray that you would just draw us closer, encounter us with your love this week. Give us assignments to do that we can bring your love to the people around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.